Hi, it's Kendu here, and I'm here with Jono today. Hi, John. How are you?
Really good, thanks, mate. Good to be back on the show.
Mate, I'm just a little bit worried about our future, John, with things like artificial intelligence.
It is something to be concerned about because it is rapidly taking more and more of an influence in our life.
The other day, I you know, I watched this guy 42 on YouTube, and I just wonder why he hasn't put a couple of things together from the shows he's done. First of all, I was watching one about AI and how they're worried it's going to take over and all of that. And I thought, well, that's okay because, you know, if it's on the machine over there in the corner, just turn the bloody thing off.
It's right? Simple.
Yeah, yeah. You know, or that might be a bit more complicated than that, and especially if, you know, things, people like the military have got fail safes in their silos that launch the missiles if the computer gets turned off. We've all seen War Games.
Definitely. There's always lots of movies. Right.
But then I was watching another show and he's talking about this new blockchain technology. Now, what blockchain is the information stored on multiple computers. So each computer has got a full copy of the information on the one before it, and it's in like a network. So you might have 10,000 computers all with the same bit of information on them. The idea being it's less hackable.
Because so I guess if one computer gets hacked, then the others sort of can look into it and then sort of say, well, look, this is not right, and set up various alerts.
That's it. That's right. And they can correct the one that's wrong also.
And I guess if the computers are set in different locations and things, it's then harder to track as to where they are, so because you can't then do more than one go.
That's right. That's right. Now, what I want you to consider now is throwing AI into the mix. Now you've got this AI located on computers across the planet, and if something goes wrong with the AI, how do you kill it?
Because it's so networked.
That's right. And so you destroy one machine and another machine just covers it.
Exactly, and it's covered up.
And it reminds me of, remember that show Electric Dreams about the computer, Edgar, who got water tipped in him and he come alive and all that? It was a 1980s film. And in the end, he launched himself into cyberspace and he was everywhere.
Right.
And you think, well, you know, say something goes wrong with that AI, it gets a really bad day and it's pissed off. What are you going to do about it?
It's an uncontrollable monster.
Yes. So, you know, I suppose they, you know, they've got to think of these things, or whether they haven't put two and two together yet and seen the inherent danger.
The same thing with the Terminator series with Judgment Day, and they tried to sort of shut down the computer. In fact, they were actually starting it up with the program, and then it launched itself.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And
It reminds me of another show. I don't know, there was a 1950s or 60s show called The Forbin Project.
I haven't heard of that one.
Right, and what the computer decided there is that humans were unnecessary, and it launched nuclear attacks all over the world, killed everybody, and all that was left was the AI. Because, you know, it just figured out humans were not necessary.
I've even seen movies where buildings themselves is the AI, and people get locked out or locked in or
dropped in
elevators and this sort of thing.
Yep.
It can be sort of more sort of a local areas instead of sort of.
Well, we all remember too, as I said earlier, everybody's probably seen War Games where the computer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're thinking it was just a game, but in fact it was real.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then.
Yeah, how does the computer tell the difference?
Yes. How do people then tell the difference?
That's
because
right.
With a lot of the stuff that we've got on TV these days, actors are not really the actors. They're a simulation.
Oh, yes. I was watching a movie like that the other night. I can't remember.
And people, look, we can usually tell the difference between conscious and a movie, but some people can't. Some people have various thought processes where they sort of blur the line.
Well, there's a funny thing the other day, and if my neighbours are listening to this, that's fine, they'll think it's funny, because one of them said, you know, I always think about Americanisation of Australia, and one of the members of a group I'm in said, oh, I saw the white truck and the UPS guy come up the street. And I just put back a comment. I said, that's a long drive or something like that for the UPS guy to come up our street, because that's the United States Postal Service.
They will deliver.
They will deliver anywhere. But what I'm saying is, it's just everybody relates to it. Oh, somebody comes up the street in a white van, it's the UPS guy, because there's no distinction between America and Australia or wherever.
Yeah, we're just with this globalisation. One thing I'm noticing is that with technology, it starts off as like a clock on the wall. Now you've got the wristwatch, and now you've got your mobile phones, and your computers are now more into your mobile phones. And we're then getting plugged in more with technology into our own bodies and things. Hearing aids is a good example of that, which is great. It's developing our bodies in a better, more functional way. But where does it stop? I mean, there are other movies where we've seen where people have been developed to such an extent where they've got these amazing powers and stuff. Where does it finish?
Well, that's very interesting, because remember when the smartwatches first come out, Pat, my wife, got a Garmin, right? And it was given to her by her life insurance company.
Oh, yes.
Right? And they wanted her to sign onto the internet with it, because you can store all your data on the internet, but they wanted access to it for 3 months. Right? Now,
that sends up alarm bells.
It does. And I thought, like, you know, like I wear an Android watch. You know, what are they monitoring that you don't know about? And then they're selling that information to insurance companies, banks and stuff
with their mega data.
Yeah, and then they go and say, look, don't insure Dave because, you know, he sits down all day, you know, and it's really
tracking where you are, who you're seeing. It's very much Big Brother sort of things.
It definitely is.
And we all have to stay as individuals. Otherwise, we just become just a blur, a drone.
That's right.
Yeah,
we got to get things like they've got in Europe with the GDPR. Now, don't ask me what the letters stand for, but basically what that means is you can ring up any company that stored your information, write to any company that stored your information, and you can request them to do things with it, like delete it, right?
Right.
It's called the right to be forgotten. Right? Because at the moment, like, you cancel your Facebook account, they don't delete the account. It's just not accessible to the public. And the information's all on the server, and they can still reference it to, you know, see what your habits were, what demographic you fit into. With the GDPR, they have to delete it. But unfortunately, this only applies to Europe at the moment, the European Union.
Right. It's
While you're thinking of that, John, Well, with the GDPR, if they it applies to other countries, in that if you've got a European citizen and we've got some information here in Australia and he says delete it, you've got to delete it, because under international law there are fines, and I think the current fine for not deleting somebody's information when they ask it to is 4% of your company turnover. For Google, it could be millions
of dollars. I was going to say, the point I was going to make
Facebook, could be millions.
Is the currency. There's all sorts of currencies, the currency of information and the usefulness of information and how it can be applied and who wants it. And we're always manipulated in various ways. And if AI is going to manipulate us more and more, it's hard to sort of have that medium baseline as to what's right and what's wrong.
And see, a lot of people are manipulated, right? Like
subtly.
Well, like sometimes I turn off my filtering, my evidence tracking software, and I just watch to see what pops up. But when I see stuff pop up, it doesn't give me the urge to buy it. Right, I'm very sceptical.
You still have choice.
Yeah, and I'm sceptical, whereas a lot of people will just think, oh, that's cool, I like that, let's get another microphone for the podcaster. Yep. Click, click.
Yep.
And there goes your wallet.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of software that you can put on your computer, anti-tracking software, and deletes your footprint quite regularly. I've got one that actually changes what they call your fingerprint, your ID.
Right.
So, you know, every day. It gives me a new ID, so I'm not the same.
Not the same person as you were yesterday.
That's it.
No.
Now, look, okay, so we've dealt with the AI issue. What I wanted to deal with now is something less techie and more social. We're in Adelaide, South Australia. And, you know, I've done things in previous podcasts about what people do on the road, how they just take the liberty to do everything, like they speed through road works. And I think in one of my episodes I asked for the place where I can get the exemption certificate so I can speed too.
I'd like to know that too, because I've had so many experiences just that you're talking about.
Yep, yep. Well, the thing is, a lot's changed with policing in Adelaide over the years. Like, I remember 110 years ago when I was 15.
When you were middle-aged.
16 and got my driver's license. You're always worried about the police. There was a police car or a motorcycle around every corner. And now I can drive all day and not see a police car.
Quite often, yes.
Yeah. And you think they're just so busy with taskings, they can't do patrols. And, you know,
the stuff that goes out on the roads, even just driving here to the studio today, motorcyclists just cutting in here, cutting there, not indicating, and people squealing off from the down the other side of the road. It's just like, gee.
It's a free-for-all.
It is.
It's a free-for-all. And it's not the police's fault. It's the government for not, you know, for getting rid of all the motorcycle cops. And
I've hardly seen one.
Yeah, well, I think they were disbanded at one stage and then they put a few of them back. There's not many.
No.
No. And as I said, when I was young, you sort of never did anything wrong because you were always thinking, do that. And you know, when you did do something wrong and round the corner, there was the copper, pull over, you know, and you just think, yeah, right, okay, I better not do that anymore.
But people are not looking over their shoulder as much as they used to, like, oh, am I being spotted? Am I going to get into trouble for doing things? They just feel, well, there's just nothing there, and they just go and do it.
Well, I think that's a part of the issue with, like, the radar system that they've got now. You know, you just drive past the thing and then they send you a ticket in the post. When the copper used to pull you over, you were scared shitless.
Yes, my heart rate would go through the roof.
Yeah, that's right. So I think probably it's definitely turned into a money-making regime rather than a speed prevention regime.
Well, I guess you're going back to your previous subject of AI. I mean, AI is becoming more into the patrolling aspect of rather than the people physically
right.
being out there.
Yep, yep, yep.
And
right.
One point I can appreciate it because the cops are not at risk about being attacked or anything, and they can then be applied into more appropriate areas.
Well, that's right. And, you know, these days, yes, you mentioned that people attacking police, there's just no respect for authority anymore.
That's true.
Yeah, they just do whatever they like. You know, I watch those American cop things on, and I don't watch the commercial television ones. Well, I have seen them, but I actually watch the actual body cam footage from cops and that. And look, I know you can get bad cops, but most of them put up with a lot of shit.
They are quite restrained.
Yeah.
The stuff that people are putting out to them, they ask them to do a simple little thing and they just rebel, and
that's
then
right.
It just ups the ante and
waste the time of the police officer that could be doing a more important job.
Exactly.
You know, and as I said, I see some of them and they pull over somebody for a traffic stop, and because they haven't paid for their license, it seems to be in America that the way to solve something is to shoot. So that they pull out a gun and shoot at the cop, and then they usually end up getting killed because all the cops shoot back and they're killed over a traffic offence, a broken taillight.
Tail
you think, my God, you people, you're insane.
Duh.
You know, yeah, and people, you know, just, I don't know.
People are dumb.
Yeah, they are.
That's why we need AI to look after us.
Well, you know what the AI is going to do, don't you? It's going to say, stuff this shit. No, it's just going to stomp
beings are not worth
on
it.
Us all. No, it's going to get rid of us. And, and look, you think of it, you know, the Earth doesn't need us.
No.
It's never needed us.
No.
We need it, and yet we keep screwing it up. You know, I was watching have you seen the new movie Seaspiracy?
No.
Oh, you should watch it. About all the crew. The biggest danger to the oceans is not plastic, it's fishing. Right? Because they upset the balance of nature and some of those big nets that they drag along the bottom, it tears up all the seagrass.
Yes.
Well, seagrass makes oxygen for us, doesn't it?
Actually, I heard that most of the oxygen actually comes from the ocean.
That's right, from all the seagrasses and, everything. You know, seagrasses in the ocean, same, absorb carbon dioxide, put out oxygen. And here we got these people that have reduced our fisheries by, 90% or more. And, we still want to fish and there's corruption and shit. Like they had that, there's a label on tuna and things that's sea safe? Dolphin safe. Right, it's rubbish. You go and ask them about the fishing, and they sort of go and dodge around the corner, and yet these fishing companies are paying millions to use their logo to say they don't catch dolphins, and yet they bloody well do, and it's just unbelievable. And then they went to another organisation, Earthwatch or something like, I forget what it was, and they wouldn't talk about it either because they're being paid by the fisheries people to have their logo and all of that sort of shit. And then you find Earthwatch and Dolphin Watch are the same mob. They're, he followed the money and it's all the same mob. It's rubbish. So, the tuna you're eating in tins, folk, is not dolphin safe. And tuna farms.
Yes.
Right, most of the fish in there are sick. Right, because they're not in the open ocean and they're infected with sea lice and everything else.
Really?
And do you know, the feed that they feed them is actually made from fish meal, right? So basically what they got to do for every ton of salmon or tuna or whatever is farmed in a farm, they need 1.2 tons of feed to feed them. So it's all nonsense. I said the whole world is just full of bullshit from end to end, as I say, it's the most corrupt planet in the solar system.
True.
Anyway, I don't know. The only other thing I didn't like about the sea thing is in Thailand and things like that, they use slaves on the boats. Like one guy who was on a boat for 10 years, he said, look, I wanted to go out and catch fish on the field. I met the captain in the bar. We had beers. We were all whatever. He said, once he got me on the boat, they had guards and guns and that was it. And I was stuck with them for 10 years, no pay.
And really?
They don't let them off the boats. And the authorities know and they don't do anything. Right, because it's getting profit for Thailand or whatever.
It's all money orientated.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, I had a few issues today to get off my chest, and I think we've done that. And I look forward to the next John's Retro show. Can you tell us anything about what might be coming up in John's Retro?
Lamps. Lamps is what I'm looking at. There are all different sorts of lamps, ceiling lamps. There's one in particular my grandfather made, which is back in the 1920s. It's incredible because he made it all out of bits and pieces from around the home. He was quite an accomplished sort of engineer in that regard. So I'll have to put up some photos of it.
Just don't bring Tupperware, John.
No Tupperware, thankfully. Well, there are some retro Tupperware, but it's not that old enough to be too retro.
Oh, God, I hate Tupperware. Look, anybody who's got a cupboard full of Tupperware, can I just tell you, it shouldn't be in a cupboard. It should be in a bloody box because it falls everywhere. Now, nothing stores or stacks properly, and you just got a cupboard full of crap.
But it's useful crap.
We can't knock that.
It does last forever.
It does. And, mate, if things you break, they usually replace them because
they've got a good warranty system.
They've got a good warranty. But, I don't know. It's one of those love-hate relationships, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Okay. Well, that's it for Can Do Dave this week. We will see you next time.